Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today?
Praising God. He's so good. We're so blessed.
Amen. Amen. And I am excited about this episode that we're about to do. We are having a special guest back again for a second episode with us. And I had already gone over the bio, and I really, really encourage you guys. We just did a wonderful episode concerning the global flood and the fact of what the Word of God actually says, and that we should not only take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ and His Word, but recognizing that God has still given us a ton of proofs in His creation. So I tell you, go back to that. And I gave a longer bio, but I'm going to at least express some of the highlights of our guest today from Awesome Science Media, somebody who's been Emmy nominated, somebody who's been doing and producing Creation Science Media since 1996. He's worked with National Geographic, Fox Sports, ESPN, The Outdoor Channel. He actually travels with his family and involves them, his eight children. And a lot of you guys know who listen here. I'm a big homeschool advocate because we do homeschool all our children. I only have four, so he's already double the man than I am concerning his output there. He's got more arrows to shoot, and he's been using those arrows to build these documentaries, 35 different documentaries and kids shows that he has, especially on, guys, he's got a video on demand source, and he had said in the previous episode that he wants it to be a Creation Science Netflix. And I thought that's so awesome, especially with the wicked content that Netflix has been putting out. So he's featured on Answers in Genesis. In fact, I think on the article talking about him on Answers in Genesis, it said that he travels around in a 27-foot motorhome, and that's moved up to 36 feet now. So he's moving up in the world, and now that he's been on Good Fight Radio Show, he's going to be moving up even more. So we welcome Kyle Justice, the founder of Awesome Science Media. Thank you for being with us today.
Oh, thank you for such the warm welcome. That's great.
Praise the Lord, brother. And this is really exciting to talk about the subject we're going to be talking about. It's also one that, in all honesty, there's some Christians that we love that are going to put on gloves when they see this, not only for defense, but offense. And this is a topic that has been separating people in the body of Christ over and over again. And it's a topic that I believe even on one of the first shows of the Good Fight Radio Show, we mentioned we're going to get to it. It's just there's been so many other things that we haven't gotten to it yet. And so when we were talking with Kyle Justice of Awesome Science Media, one of the episodes, hey man, what are some of the things we could do on? And he gave us a lot of different things that he's got some great information on. And he wrote the flat earth. And I said, man, this would be awesome to talk about this. And I think when Tony and I were discussing this episode, we both said, hey, this one first, we definitely got to do this one, not first in order, but first that this is one that we have to talk about, especially from a scientific background, especially from somebody who cares about the Word of God in its literal form, how God actually expounds upon His Word and explains it to us. We want to exegete text, not eisegete, where we put what we want into it. But this is also a topic, guys, we see the splitting of the body of Christ over this issue. So we want to talk about it. So I guess with all of that, just know we love you. And if you disagree, we hope you still love us. And yet we want to talk about this because the Bible says very clearly that love rejoices in the truth. So we want to know what the truth is. So with all of that, what is the flat earth theory or idea? What is the history of it? And who are the main tenets?
Yeah, it's fascinating when you kind of delve into this. And what ended up happening is, as I was working with an expert, a guy named Dr. Danny Faulkner of Answers in Genesis, and he was making posts about the flat earth, and I'm like, what's going on here? And I started talking with Dr. Faulkner and realized, man, there's a documentary here, but I really need to learn, what is this thing all about? And, you know, what's happening in the body of Christ with it? And I was shocked, really, when I started finding out. Now, you know, people think flat Earth, you know, they're thinking, you know, crazies with maybe aluminum hats on and, you know, that type of thing. But it's really making its way into the church, as you mentioned. The thing is, if you go back and you look at ancient civilizations, it's not a new idea. It actually is multiple. The Greeks talked about it. The Egyptians talked about it. But really, in, say, the 6th century to the 1st century B.C., as science progressed, even back then, there were discoveries made that really most people believed that the Earth was round. It was a globe. And even in fact, in Egypt, Aristophanes, in the 2nd century before Christ, he even took measurements of shadows in different places in Egypt. And he found, he kind of estimated the Earth's circumference to be about 25,000 miles. And it's actually 24,901. So, I mean, he was accurate up to 99 miles. That's not too bad for not even knowing it. But he observed things there that the Earth was a globe. People like Aristotle, you know, he also had some great things he presented. But it's kind of interesting, back in the time of Columbus, a lot of people were taught that Columbus was trying to prove the Earth wasn't flat. But that's actually not true. That never happened. It was actually really presented by a guy named Irving Washington, who was a fiction writer. Remember, he was a fiction writer, and he wrote on the story of Christopher Columbus. And he, in the fiction, said that the Catholic Church believed that the Earth was flat, and they were concerned that Columbus was going to fall off the edge of it. But even sailors back then knew that sailed with Columbus, that the Earth was a globe. And in fact, the Church never even taught that the Earth was flat, or the Bible, because why? Because the Bible doesn't even teach it. It's only been in the modern-day movement, really. There's a guy named Robotham in England who did this test where he looked about 10 miles down this canal, and with his telescope, he thought he could see still the top of the mast of the sailboat that was that far away. And he said, well, shoot, the Earth has to be flat. And he even started something called the Zetetic Society. That was the first Flat Earth Society. And that's kind of how it began. And there's not actually one main idea of the flat Earth. There's actually multiple ideas. And so it kind of caught on after that. It's seen really a resurgence in about the last 5 years of social media. You type in flat Earth on the YouTube or, you know, other places, and man, there's a ton of videos and, you know, quote evidences that come up. So, you know, that's kind of how it came. It basically says the Earth is flat, and then there's other theories that come out of that. And really what I wanted to do is focus on what Christians believe, because that's really what's dividing the church. And I think a lot of people run into this with flat Earth. It's like, oh, you believe in flat Earth? But they really don't know what it means or where it comes from. So I kind of wanted to get into that next. Does that sound good?
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, why are Christians even beginning to believe this?
Well, it's interesting because if you get into it, as we got into it with our documentary, there's some people that say that the Bible, from cover to cover, is a flat Earth book, where they basically use scripture to say that the Earth is flat. Now, what's interesting is you have, you know, a society in the last 100 years or more, especially the last 20 to 40 years, that's gone so secular. And so people are wanting to get back into the Word of God and you know, really glean and say, oh, man, this, you know, evolution and, you know, all that stuff, you know, we need to stay with the Word of God. And so they've actually come up with 200 verses that clearly state that the Earth is stationary, flat, and enclosed. And those are the main tenets of the biblical flat Earth. And so if you get into it, the main verse they use is Isaiah 40:22. And it says, it is he that sitteth on the circle of the earth. Remember, it said circle. And the inhabitants, therefore, are as grasshoppers that stretched out over the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Well, hey, it's not a globe. It's a circle. The Bible says it right there. And so they use that verse. They get into Isaiah 41:9, where it says, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee forth the chief of men thereof. And so right there, there's another verse, the ends of the earth. The earth has an end. And then they get into Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 16:30. Fear him, fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it not be moved. And so the earth isn't a globe that moves around the sun. It's actually something that is stable and it's not moving at all. And that's one, again, it's a Bible verse that gets used for this. Job 38:4, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. In other words, that now they say there are foundations that make up this static earth. And they even get into, as you get further into the theory, you realize the sun and the moon, we don't revolve around the sun in this idea. The sun and the moon go in rotation above the earth. And so there's some ideas there. 1 Samuel 2:8 talks about, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. So now they're saying that, you know, the earth and everything we live on is set on pillars, and it's stable, and it's not moving. Revelation 5:3 says, and no man in heaven nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look at them. So if you have pillars, you also have the underworld, or, you know, what's under the earth. And so it becomes this whole model of what the earth looks like. And you mentioned this before, I think, before we started, but in Genesis 1:6 through 8, it talks about the firmament over and over, where God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters, and God made the firmament. And so there's these waters above and waters below, according to this verse. And it basically, they built this whole earth that is the flat earth. It keeps going in Genesis 14 through 19 about the firmament. And they say that the firmament, the definition is to pound out, kind of like, you know, you're pounding out a, maybe you're making something out of metal in the olden days in a furnace, and you're bringing it out and you're pounding it out and you're making it flat. And that's kind of the context that they use. They say that the Bible is talking about. In Job 37:18, hast thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong as a molten looking glass? So now they're saying that also that the firmament, there's also a hard shell, basically, that holds in the stars and the sun and the moon, and then there's water above it. You know, so it gets pretty complicated. And then they talk about in Psalm 18:11 that he made the darkness his secret place, his pavilion around him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. So God is sitting above the firmament, above the earth. And we, in our documentary, we actually have an artist that drew this, all the different levels that we're talking about. And it's hard to do over radio, but, you know, that's how it's looking. And so what's interesting too is these people who believe that this is what the Bible says, that the earth is flat, those Christians who don't believe in the flat earth, they reference 2 Thessalonians 2:11. Mm-hmm. And it says, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. And so they're saying that anyone who, you know, believes in anything but a flat earth is a part of the delusion, the worldly delusion, the secular delusion. And so it's important to understand, you know, where's somebody coming from? And, I mean, that is a good, I went through it really fast, but that really ties in some of the main points. You know, all of us as believers, we want to believe in the Word of God. We want, not just want to, we trust and believe that it is the true Word of God. And so I think that's where it becomes really difficult when we're talking to people who say the Bible believes, you know, that it preaches this, that it is a flat earth book. And it's like, well, wait a minute. So where do we go?
Yeah, I think that's really important that you talked about that, because you had mentioned also the 2 Thessalonian text. And I wanted to bring this up because this is what happened when I was talking with a family member the first time I heard about this theory. And many of the verses, maybe all of the verses you just went to, were the verses. Yeah. I mean, they're those patented verses. And the question was, before anything came up with 2 Thessalonians, I said, can you explain to me this global conspiracy, and why is everyone in on it? Like, what does it do for the against the Christian narrative?
Sure, right.
And there was honestly no answer there. She said, well, because then people will be confused and they won't believe the Bible anymore. I was like, find me the person who stopped believing the Bible because the world doesn't happen to be flat or so forth. But anyways, but yeah. Before I get to that, you've done a great job of presenting a flat earth now, according to them from scripture. So how can we, if you believe in flat earth, don't shut the episode off right now. Okay. We gotta get to the ending, you know, that wouldn't be too good, because now we want to talk about how can these biblical flat earth, biblical, I guess, in parentheses, right? Biblical flat earth ideas be challenged, these verses that you just presented. Yeah.
I mean, what's amazing is they say, and they reference scripture, and they say, see, it says the earth is flat. But what's interesting is you kind of got to step back just a little bit. And if you notice, every one of the verses that I used were taken literally. You know, the circle of the earth, you know, everything from the looking glass, everything from, you know, going about that it not be moved and so on. But what's interesting is when you look at scripture, you have to start looking in what are literary styles of scripture. You have historical narrative, you know, Jesus walking on the earth, you know, statutory, which are law. You have genealogies. You have prophecy, which talks about the future. Poetry, from Song of Solomon to the Psalms. Parables that Jesus told. The epistles of Paul. And so if you were to look at John 15:5, Jesus says, I'm the vine. You are the branches. Wait a minute. Does Jesus look like a vine? No, he was actually talking figuratively. But what a great example to show that we abide in Christ, just like a vine does with the branches. Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and thou shalt go in and out and find pasture. When I look at Jesus, does he look like a door with a handle and engravings? And no, it's figurative. It's what he's seen. And it's going back to the scripture and saying, okay, what type of scripture is this? What type of literary devices are being used? And so we actually talked with Dr. Stephen Boyd in our documentary, and he really went into how scripture is used in these different ways. And so, for instance, Job 26:7, he stretched out the earth, out the north over the empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. That's interesting. And yet we find out that, you know, some of that's actually true, that the earth really doesn't hang on anything. Nothing hangs on it. It goes and rotates around the sun and so on. But, you know, scripture can help give us clues about it. But if we read 2 Timothy 2:15, it's a great verse because it says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so dividing the truth, dividing the word of God, meaning not, you know, this goes here, goes here, and this is true and this is not true, but what type of literary devices are being used? You know, so, you know, he that sit upon the circle of the earth, and so is God really sitting there, or is it, you know, if he looks down upon the earth from one perspective, it might look like a circle, you know? But remember, it says the inhabitants are therefore are grasshoppers. Wait a minute. So if you take literally the circle of the earth, meaning it's a flat earth, then we would be walking around, we're grasshoppers? No, we're humans. We're created in the image of God. You know, so it's like, how do you start to look at these passages of scripture? You think about the ends of the earth in Isaiah 41:9, and they say, you know, there are physical ends. And yet, you know, we know that in Psalm 22:27, it says, all the ends of the world shall remember and return unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. So here's a reference to the ends of the earth, the world. Wait a minute. Is this talking about the real end, like, you know, the edges on the flat earth, or is it talking about something different? It's like, you know, because if in a globe, you just keep going around and around and around. There's no end. But in some of these times and periods when these psalms were written, you know, civilization, it did spread out. But what the kind of the known world, you know, you get to more where the ends of the earth are, in a sense of where the ends of civilization are and where wilderness might start. You know, so there's different ways to look at it. You know, you look at verses that I mentioned in 1 Chronicles 16:30. Or it says that the earth shall not be moved. But three verses later it says, then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord. I've been out in the woods a lot, but, you know, they bring glory to God, but I've never heard him sing a song. So is that figurative? But it's in the same passage. And so you have to look at these things. The second Samuel, or 1 Samuel 2:8, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. Well, a couple verses later, or before that, it says, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Well, wait a minute. Then if you take literally the pillars of the earth, you know, within that same passage, God is a rock. Well, he is a rock of our salvation. But no, he's not just a rock. He's God. You know, he's the creator. So it's like, wait a minute. So is it talking figuratively about the pillars? I think it could be. And you just have to look at the context. You know, the whole idea of the firmament. There are other ways to look at that passage. It comes from the Hebrew noun rakia, and it comes from the verb raka, which actually means to spread out. And it can also be interpreted as expanse, not, you know, pounding out like a, you know, beating a sword to make it bigger or a piece of metal. It's an expanse. And man, God sure has a great expanse that he made in the heavens for sure. So, I mean, those are some of the different things that you can look at. But again, going back to 2 Timothy 2:15, we need to study these things and be open to what God wants to teach us, but that we rightly divide the word of truth and understand the context in which things were written. But and if you really think about, I mean, I didn't go into a lot of the details about what they believe on the flat earth, the mechanics of it, but meaning, you know, this dome that supposedly is there is only about 3,000 miles high, and that's it. And if God, our God, made the heavens and the earth and the firmament to show off his handiwork, to me, man, if you compare the two and you think, man, a universe that's, you know, so many light years across and all these beautiful stars, that sure shows off God a lot more than a dome with 3,000 feet up or 3,000 miles up. So it's kind of crazy.
Wow, that's pretty good stuff. And so how is the flat earth idea impacting the church? We got about 6 or so minutes left, just so you know.
Yeah, there's a whole other section of our documentary that we go into. Okay, now let's study God's world and what does the evidence really show, you know, and we did our own experiments and that type of thing. And, you know, I'd love to share maybe another episode on what we found out and or watch the documentary.
Yeah, amen.
You know, we talked about this before the episode, but, you know, how is it impacting the church? Well, we find that it's dividing the church, mm-hmm. and that you have people leaving the church. Yeah, we've had testimonies of people that were active deacons or elders in their church, and they got caught up in this, and they left, and, you know, some even divorced their spouses. I mean, it's crazy to think about this, but there's even dating sites now that, you know, if for flat earthers. I mean, it's gotten that far fetched, but it's dividing the church. And if you think about what the enemy wants, is he wants that division. You know, he wants us to be less effective. And so not only that, but ministries that are doing great science, Answers in Genesis, ICR, and so on, it kind of makes people wonder about those and, you know, whose science do you trust, especially in the body of Christ. And so it's dividing and kind of minimizing ministries that are pursuing science from a biblical worldview. And so, you know, it's just hard, and it's sad to see what's going on because of this movement.
Yeah, and why do you believe it's important for us to know what they believe?
Well, I think for a couple of reasons. One is that we run into parents a lot on this subject, and they're like, yeah, my son or daughter was watching these videos, and I don't know what to say or how to even open up a discussion. And so I think it's important to study this. You know, what does each side believe? What, you know, and what are some of the solid answers that we can use when discussing with people? We found that a lot of people who really are head and heels over the flat earth, that you know, they're so on it, that very few of them really want to listen because they're like, no, the Word of God says this. And yet they're not willing to also look at just really good observations. So it's really hard to, like, win people back, you know. But at the same time, we also need to live together in unity. And, you know, what we really need to say is, okay, so we don't all believe in the flat earth, but you know, what are the things we do believe in? You know, the salvation of Jesus Christ and so on. And, you know, I think there's some grace that needs to be there, but at the same time, I don't think we're going to argue people out of it very easily.
Yeah, and I think this is a great way to finish up this show with you, you know, the last three or four minutes here. But how do we respond to those Christians who do believe in the flat earth?
You know, I think one of the first things that we need to do is just to acknowledge and recognize with them that, you know, they the biggest reason that they're doing this is because they believe in the 100% biblical worldview, in a sense that the Bible is the Word of God and that it's here. Now, you know, there was a guy back in the 90s who looked at Scripture, and he had all these different reasons that he thought Jesus was coming back in the 90s. And everyone flocked to him. And then, not everyone, but, you know, a lot of people did. And they, when it didn't happen, a lot of people got disenfranchised. And so, you know, I think that whether the earth is flat or it's not, it's not, say, critical to our salvation, and that we need to respond in love, and we need to be able to decide on the things that are true, that are an essential part of our salvation, and then just pray for each other. I think living in grace is key, even if there's different beliefs about what the shape of the earth is.
Yeah, amen. I could not agree with you more, and I think that, you know, you've done a great job. And once again, for another episode here, it's kind of just boom, a lot of information. So I really want to encourage you guys, as we finish up here with our brother in Christ, I want to encourage you guys to go to Awesome Science Media. Go check out what they have on Flat Earth. If you disagree, please check out his entire DVD. Always listen to the full case, because the first who pleads his case does seem right until someone comes to examine him. And I think if we do a better job of critical thinking and caring for the truth, I think we would do a better job of understanding whatever would come our way, whether it's flat earth theory or the gap theory or any theory that somebody may come up with. I think this is really, really important. And this is important stuff. So as you can hear in both, you know, Kyle's voice as well as my own, and I know Tony has the same feeling, this is not a place where we want to say, we can't have fellowship. We don't want to have fellowship with somebody who believes this. And as Kyle pointed out multiple times, like, we know and we recognize that, hey, You want to believe exactly what the Word of God is saying. We just believe that when we look at it properly in its context, it's not actually saying what you think it is. And so, guys, with all of that, I have been so excited to have the founder of Awesome Science Media, Kyle Justice, with us. He has been an absolute blessing for the last two episodes we've been working on concerning. And don't forget, you've already listened to this episode on Flat Earth. Go back and check out the episode we also did concerning the global flood. This stuff is important. We've been absolutely blessed. And I just want to give a big thank you to Kyle Justice, the founder of Awesome Science Media. Thank you so much, brother.
All right. Thank you, brother, for having me.
God bless.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, please consider visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/goodfight. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.